Gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, a.k.a. Bulls Scripted, and we are here after a 102-98 loss at the United Center to the Utah Jazz. Little house cleaning. Be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap. Following my dude Goose at Bull Scripted, following me at Buzz on Tap, and following at On Tap Sportsnet on Twitter. And be sure you're checking out the Thrive Fantasy app. It's a new, cool, and tough DFS app for prop bets. Use the promo code On Tap, and once you deposit your first $10, Thrive will give you an additional $10. So grab a beer and crack them and enjoy a more convenient way to play DFS. Goose, we lost. It was close. Back and forth, entertaining game, but the Bulls were not able to pull this one out, man. What are your initial thoughts on this one here?
I'm glad that marijuana is recreationally legal in Illinois now. That's my thoughts on this game and the Bulls season in general. We had it. You know, we came out of the second, into the second half there. On fire, already had a 4-point lead at halftime, kicked it up to, I think, 12, if my memory serves correct.
Yep.
And then we just completely blew that lead and got behind. Kind of, almost closed it at the end. Zach hit a big three, and then he took a bad three. And then on the next possession, he did make the right play and go to the hole, but Gobert was there. So shit, man. There's another game that we had a 10-plus point lead in and we lost, and that fucking sucks.
Well, you know, dude, I'm gonna go with the obvious here. Lowry, I thought, started this game off pretty aggressive. He was looking pretty good, and I mean, I think we sat him for like nine straight. It had to be 9 minutes. I could be wrong, but I feel it was like that. From the third quarter when they put him down, I think it was like, what was that around, like the 5 minute mark? And he didn't come back until the fourth. And Thad Young, a lot of coaching errors again. It's a lot of coaching errors. How do you expect your young team to grow when you make dumbass errors like that? And, you know, I know we're not even going quarter by quarter here. We're just bullshitting about the game and what we thought of it. But even that last inbounds play, what the hell are you drawing up? What are you doing? You going for a quick two, but then you have a screen come set in the middle so Lowry can, roll out. You have Gobert guarding the paint. Why are we going for something like that? I don't understand why we're not trying to hit the corners and go for a three and then foul and try to get the ball. I mean, the three percentage wise has to be about as high as the 2% shot with Rudy Gobert standing in the middle, who was altering shots all night. A lot of errors were made tonight. A lot of personnel errors. I will give Jim credit for one thing. Thank God we didn't have to see Ryan Arcidiacono on Donovan Mitchell. Shaq Harrison did a pretty good job on him, but I'm really confused by a lot of how the minutes played out tonight. It's kind of like what you say all the time. It's like, where are these minutes going? Lowry plays 32 minutes. Thad gets 16 minutes. How does Lowry only get 32 minutes? Yeah, I don't get it. Do you have an answer for me?
I don't at all. Kind of makes you hope that they trade Thad, but what's that going to do to the locker room? Him and Otto Porter Jr. are your captains of your team, and here we go again.
Oh, my God, the leadership committee.
Year, anybody that was on the leadership committee or whatever the fuck it was called ended up getting traded or bench. Justin Holiday gone, Jabari gone, Otto Porter's out with an injury and now we're gonna trade the other captain. I guess I don't know what that says about your team if you just keep shipping captains off. But at this point, I think it's best for Thad and the Bulls. You know, it's not like Thad's a bad player. I think he's getting kind of fucked here, outside of his contract, which I'm sure he's satisfied with. But, you know, I feel he's getting fucked here, and the Bulls are kind of getting shafted too. So maybe they find a home for him, and maybe they get something decent for him. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. This is where I get frustrated. I just get frustrated with a lot of this because, I mean, I don't know what Jim is seeing that I'm not seeing. You know, I mean, it makes sense to have your defensive lineup in when you have your 12-point lead. But when your defensive lineup starts losing it and you consistently stick with them until like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and you desperately need shooting, and Denzel doesn't sniff the court again. I mean, not that he's a make or break guy, but you know just as well as I do is that when Denzel gets hot, I mean, the dude gets hot. I don't know why it happens. I don't know how it happens, but the guy will just start draining fucking shots, you know? I just don't
He gets infected with the ghost of Paul Pierce and just
Right.
starts wrecking shit.
Was that a little shot at Fred?
No, never.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify real quick, my guy Fred over there, but I could see he was getting mad too. But I mean, it's just something that needs to be brought up though. Offensively, you know, what are you thinking there? You know, I don't know, man. Like I feel like we have taken a different path on our Bulls on Tap ship, where you know we've given Jim credit where credit's due. You know, we've.
No, defensively, since I gotta watch all these games with these weird stream sites, most of the time I end up listening to the opposing team's broadcast. So, you know, the Bulls are starting to get recognition around the league for their defense. That's a positive, especially being the third youngest team in the league to be a top defense. That's an accomplishment in itself, but it's got to start translating to wins, and a lot of that, like we have talked about all season, kind of comes down to the coaches' rotations here. Chandler Hutchison, healthy, not active.
Well, I mean,
Why?
I'm not. Are you shocked by that? I'm actually not shocked by that. I
I'm
would,
not shocked
you know,
by
I wasn't
Hutch's
shocked.
absence because she's been made of glass these first two seasons here, which is unfortunate because we need the size. And I do think if it you asked me between Shaq and Hutch, I'd probably lean Hutch, although
Yeah, you're gonna take the first draft pick, first round draft pick.
Shaq's 3-point shots actually look solid so far this year. I feel he's hit a couple of shots, so I don't know. But just a lot of this, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, why wouldn't you have him active at the very least? What happens if you have an injury? What, now we're back to Archie?
And Makoka.
So I don't understand this coach most of the time.
No, and every time he starts to like turn a corner where I think he might be turning a corner, because I again, and I've said this on the show before, like I don't not want to like Jim Boylan. You know what I mean? Like I would like I think he's not a bad guy. I've got to meet him, you know, like I've told, you know, we got to meet him. He's not a bad dude, you know, he's not a bad guy at all. It's just I get so pissed off and I question him so much is because there's a reason I don't work in the NBA. I've said that on this show before too, but I mean, I like to think I know a little bit about basketball, and I don't understand. I think it's stubbornness out of his part, or it's got to be pure ignorance on how he'll leave these certain rotations in. But I mean, like I said, credit where credit's due about the whole Shaq Harrison on Donovan Mitchell thing when Chris Dunn got into foul trouble. Like, kudos, bro. I love that. That was awesome. I mean, Jim had a couple shining moments this week. That was one of them. And then last, or, you know, a couple days ago when they played and somebody asked him a question in the press conference about fouls. And he's like, "You really want me to answer that? Well, I'm not gonna. I'll make enough money to give it away." I mean, that was, you know, that was peak Jim Boylan right there. But I don't know what he's I don't know what he's thinking as far as his rotations go. Lowry getting 32 minutes is just a fucking pathetic to
Well,
me.
and the sad thing is that's a lot of minutes for Lowry for Jim usually. Like Lowry's been playing like under 30 a lot.
Right. That
So
was the last time we were talking about that. Wasn't it like 28 minutes or 29 minutes? We're just both like, okay.
I think so. And
Yeah.
like we've pointed out multiple times, he sits him for like 10, 12, 14, 15 minutes at a time, and it's like, dude, what the
Well,
why?
that's a great point you bring up because, like, I want this to be an interactive show, and I think that, I mean, especially with your Twitter presence, the show, and my, and being on Twitter and talking to people and just, like, putting our opinions out there, I know you see it just as much as I do. People bitching about Lowry not being there offensively. And
Well,
it
because he's
always.
been playing better.
Well, right, but I mean, how do you expect him to come in the game? I mean, he's a big man. He's still learning. I mean, he's a good player, but when he sits 9 straight minutes, he's got to work himself back into the flow of the game. He's not Kevin fucking Durant, you know what I mean? He's not James Harden. These dynamic fucking like badass scorers. Lowry could score. He needs a little regularity within his minutes for the game. Like, dude, you can't sit him 8 to 9 minutes. It's stupid. And that's what we keep doing, and I really do feel like it's playing a part in our downfall. I don't understand why we played fucking Thad that much. I don't understand why, like, I mean, I know it was 60 minutes, but look at where the bulk of his minutes came in, though, dude. It came in that end of that third quarter, like 4 minutes left in that third quarter, going all the way into like this, seventh minute of the fourth quarter without Lowry touching the court. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know,
Well, no. You think the obvious thing would be to stagger Zach and Lowry. Like, pull Lowry 4, 5, 6 minutes into the first, unless he's hot and rolling. Get Thad in there for a little bit. Have Lowry, come back in to start the second. Have him play 5, 6 minutes, sit, come back in, finish that half. Or, hell, play the whole second quarter if you're going to pull him early. Go into the half, you get a long break, come out, do the same thing in the third, but stagger him and LaVine so you have one of your two best offensive options on the floor at all times. And that just doesn't seem to be something that Jim does a lot of.
You're absolutely right, dude. I mean, and even going through these team stats real quick, let's hit this up. They both made the same amount of field goals at 37, but the Jazz only attempted 76 shots. The Bulls attempted 94, had 18 more shots than they did. Field goal percentage, 48.7% for the Jazz, 39.4% for the Bulls. They both made 11 three-pointers. Bulls attempted 36, Jazz 30. This is the part. It fucks me up a little bit here. The Bulls finally won a rebounding battle. They won 45 to 42. 9 times out of 10, you win a rebounding battle, you win what? The game. Especially when the other team turns the ball over 17 times. And I just. 46 points in the paint for the Jazz, 46 points in the paint for the Bulls. I mean, if you go down, largest lead for both teams, 11. If you go down this team stats, it's almost identical.
So what you're telling me is we lost the free throw battle again, 22 to 17.
Yeah.
Lost the game by 4 points
Yep.
and five free throws.
Yep. Hit your fucking free throws, guys. Free throws wins games. I'm still a believer in that. Ah, man. I mean, that's just the team stats. Obviously, the leading scorer for the Bulls tonight was none other than Zach LaVine with 26 points, but he had to take 26 shots to get there. He was plus 11 in the plus minus. Everybody in the starting five was plus except Chris Dunn, who was a minus two. He did get a lot of time with the bench, though. I.
Oh, yeah, Zach and Lowry both
Yep.
struggled in the field. Wendell was the only one that really.
Well, Wendell had the first, like, 5 points for the Bulls, I think, or something like
Oh, yeah, he opened up the game with that
that.
corner three, and I was like, all right, shit's going to happen. And then there's a couple times in the fourth where there would be weird plays that would go the Bulls' way, and I was like, all right, we're pulling this out. This is going to happen. And then it didn't happen.
Yeah,
And
just slipped away, man.
that second three that Zach took. kind of screwed us. That was quick shot. Could have found something better. Probably should have drove there too. We were only down two at the time. I know you want the dagger and the lead, but gotta play smart.
There might be more that goes into that, though. We've been recently seeing Zach make better decisions. I think you would agree with me on that as well. I guess he tweaked his ankle, dude, and I didn't see the play when he tweaked his ankle. I was actually getting myself some ginger ale, so I missed that. But I guess he tweaked his ankle when he kicked the ball out to Dunn for that corner three that Dunn hit. I saw that from Casey Johnson. Then Stacy was alluding to him limping towards the end of the game, within like the final 2 minutes. Stacy had said a couple things, so I'm wondering if Zach settled for that shot because I saw him start to wince in pain
Well,
because of.
no, and if that's the case, why aren't you going to somebody else?
Well, I
Like,
mean, again, that's is that the proudness of Zach LaVine or is that the ignorance of Jim Boylan?
I think it's got to be the ignorance of Jim Boylan, because if you're Jim and you're in the huddle and you're going, "All right, Zach, your ankle's hurt. You're pretty much playing on pure adrenaline right now. You're going to be the decoy, kick the ball to Lowry, kick the ball to Sato, whoever's open, blah, blah, blah," kind of thing. If you're saying that in the team huddle, and then Zach takes it upon himself to chuck up a fucking three, then obviously the team's got a problem with Zach. So I'm going to lean towards ignorance on Jim's part, but it is also very possible that maybe Zach, heroed it up a little bit too much.
Oh, you're definitely not wrong. I mean, it definitely could be on Jim. I mean, honestly, think about it. You see him wincing in pain. Casey Johnson's got a tweet out about it. You hear Stacy talking about it. I'm pulling him. If you're not able to, be 100% out there on the court right now, and now I'm a little worried about your ankle, or it could be a knee issue. I mean, you're limping. Get him out, and it is what it is. Live to fight another day. But I don't. That's just my call on the matter because you're going into another hard game. Do you have anything else to touch on this game before we move on to the next one?
No, I'm just tired of getting Greek Freak and Stifle Towered, and it's just tired of getting bent, man.
It's okay, man. It's okay. It'll get better one of these days. We'll be old, but it'll get better. The next game. The Bulls are playing. It's a we have a very, very hard couple games coming up, but this one's going to be against the Boston Celtics at the United Center. It's going to be Saturday, 7 o'clock start. I will be in attendance for this game. I'm a little nervous about that, to be honest with you. But hey, it's always a good time at the UC, win or lose. Bulls have a got a tough matchup here. Kemba Walker's finally finding his groove in Boston. Boston's playing real good. They're 23-8. Enes Kanter's been pretty decent for him. Obviously, they have Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I mean, they have a very, very good team over there in Boston. So it's gonna be a hard game, but the Bulls just kind of need to do what they did tonight. Obviously, you're putting Chris Dunn on Kemba Walker, I'd assume. I've been reading reports that Chandler Hutchinson will be active on Saturday. If that's the case, he needs to be playing because the size of, Gordon Hayward, who's back, Jaylen Brown, who's not a small man, neither is Jason Tatum, are going to bother the Bulls. So
No,
hope, you got to
sounds
get a
like
wing
they're a
in there.
team of wings.
Right. You're gonna have to get a wing in there, dude. He's gonna have to get some minutes. I'm not saying come out and play him 30 minutes, but he's gonna have to get some time in this game because Zach's gonna be bothered by those three guys I just mentioned, Tatum, Brown, and Hayward. He's going to be bothered by them.
So now I think you stick Zach on Kemba.
Really?
See,
Really? See, I'd put him on Jaylen Brown.
I've always had the opinion that putting Zach on the point guard on the defensive end keeps him engaged initially and he doesn't fall asleep off the ball. If he's starting the possession on ball, he's immediately already engaged and he has to be paying attention.
No, I
So
mean, I agree with your logic there. It's just the reason that I put Dunn on Kemba is because Kemba creates for others and creates for himself at an elite level. And I think, you know, done bothering him and getting him out of his game really messes up Boston and gets them out of their game a little bit, you know. But hey, I mean, either way, you know, someone's gonna have to check his ass, and hopefully, if they do put Zach on him, Zach steps up to the challenge and tries to play on both ends. But are we gonna even see Zach on Saturday? I mean, that's
This
a,
is true.
you know, that's a big question that we need to ask. If we're not gonna see Zach, then I want to see Chandler Hutchinson get as many minutes as possible.
No, yeah, I can't say that I agreed with you on pulling Zach out. Like I said, I would have used him as a decoy tonight, but if he's not right for the Boston game, since you're already kind of at a disadvantage, probably not going to win the game anyway, or at least you're not supposed to win the game anyway. I think you bite the bullet on that one and let Zach get some rest. Though I believe the Bulls play 17 games this month, so
Yeah, a lot of you. We got 16 games left, dude.
it's going to be hard to get Zach some rest. He's already playing, he was listed as probable tonight with a shoulder injury.
I
So,
think that's why I kind of said pull him. You know, I just don't want to see him get run into the ground.
yeah, I don't think he wants to be pulled right now with the All-Star race going on. I
Yeah,
think
oh,
he's
that's a
doing
good
his
point.
best to play through anything
Yeah, that's a good point.
to try to make it in there. It is in Chicago. I think he's got a good shot. If you haven't, go vote for Zach. I didn't even put a vote in for Lowry. I was kind of being realistic there. Not this year, between the injury and the slow start, despite the not so slow first game. I don't think Lowry deserves a vote, but definitely get in there and vote for Zach. Got to get him into this game. We the fans have a 50% control, and it might be the last time we have control because Alex Caruso is pretty high up there in minutes too.
Well, dude,
So,
Kyrie Irving is up there and he hasn't played.
well, that I think that kind of contributes to the lack of superior star power in the East in terms of guards. You know, you got Kemba, you got Zach, you have Trey, you have Kyrie, and that's about it. But no, if you haven't already, get your vote in there for Zach. We want some representation. Game is in Chicago. And at the very least, at the end of the season, if we can say that Zach made an All-Star game, we got something to positive to take away besides another draft pick.
That's a good point as well. That's a good point as well. Well, man, I don't really have much else besides one more thing. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish Kirk Heinrich a happy birthday. One of the Chicago Bulls goats. So I wanted to do that real quick with you on air with me. And yeah, you have anything to say, Kirk? Knock it off and watch your words, buddy.
I just I've never seen a goat without horns before, and he's got no horns. He's just a hornless goat.
That's enough. All right, we're done.
No, happy birthday, Captain. Can't say I'm a stan, but respect is owed where it's due sometimes, and there's definitely respect that belongs there. So
Am I a stan, dude? Am I a
with
stan?
that, let's hope we can steal a game against Boston. I think we play Detroit again soon, so that's a positive.
For sure.
So maybe we can string together a win streak here if we can steal a game. Should have had the game tonight. Probably should have had the Magic game, the Bucks game. Shit, at halftime I thought that we had a chance. Not really, but you know, I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit better about the season despite the results than I was in the beginning with the initial disappointment. I don't know about you. Are you kind of at least enjoying it a little bit more at this point?
I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, when the season started, dude, I was like, oh my God, dude, dumpster fire, dumpster fire, dumpster fire. I can't deal with another dumpster fire. But you know, they've turned it around a little bit. You know, with their defense being so good, it does put them into some games. Like tonight, for example, with all the turnovers they caused. And you know, I mean, I think the team is improving. It's just, I think they can improve more, and I think they should be a little bit further along than they are. But yeah, I am enjoying it. I am. I'm enjoying watching Bulls basketball.
All right. I mean, I think that's a good note to finish on. Hopefully, we're not crying after the Boston game. Happy New Year, everybody. Unfortunately, we are winless this year now, so that sucks.
Some bullshit. Well, everybody be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. We'll be back Saturday. It'll be pretty late because I got to get back from the United Center. But we'll be back Saturday after the Boston Celtics game. Lord willing, a dub, and let's go Bulls.